talking about this perfect law of liberty and what liberty really means. In order to understand what liberty means, you have to understand fully what sin is. And we've spent much time discussing the difference between trespass and sin. So in order for us to understand sin, we have to see that it's a person.
A fallen person.
Hmm?
A fallen person, right?
Well, it's instead of Christ. It's the Antichrist. And what is the Antichrist? What is it? How does it, what form does it take? What shape is it? And it's obvious, it has to be, it's the shape of your mind, and your mind and your perceptions and your understanding. It's all of the things that make you you. Well, in order to understand it, you have to see if it has anything to do with self, then it is sin. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And there's a well, let's go to 2 Corinthians.
Did you say then that faith is also a person?
Right. Faith is Jesus Christ. He is faith. He doesn't give us faith. We live by the faith of, not faith in.
Right.
Now, this has staggering implications. You can't improve it. You can't fix it. And you automatically love it. All men are deceived. All men worship themselves. All men worship and give breath to their opinions and their stands and their ideas. It's not optional. Again, this is why the first words of Christ to the disciples were, abandon yourself. Well, actually, that was second. First words were, repent. The kingdom of God is here. Time is at an end. Repent. Let's look at that. And let's go to Mark, for Mark 1, verse something or other. Yes, Mark 1, verse 14. Well, let's start in verse 12. I'm sorry, Pete. Verse 12, we'll start. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This driveth Christ into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. And was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So immediately after that temptation was finished, and he did not, and his temptation was just to use his mind, the Son of Man. So the first thing he does after that, verse 14, now after that, John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. Then the next thing he told his disciples, to whoever you will follow me, let him abandon himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will be his disciple. But it's almost nigh unto impossible to believe that we as our mind is sin. Because the temptation is constant to use your mind for something. And because of that, as long as you're using your mind for anything, then you cannot know the glorious liberty and the perfect law of liberty of God. Because your quiet time reveals the true nature. It's the midnight hour. It's the time when you are objectifying your whoever you have aught against. It's the time you have your great dreams and ideas. It's the time for all kinds of sexual misconduct in your mind. That, then the mind comes to Bible study and tries to figure out a way that it can keep itself alive. Every day, in every way, I'm becoming a better and better person.
That's self.
Well, that's a crap. That's just what it is. But that's what the cheerleaders sell instead of the gospel. Time is fulfilled. That's what it says.
What exactly does fulfilled mean? I mean, I know what it means, but what's your definition?
Fulfilled means fulfilled. Has no more purpose except as an antagonist. There's no more time for self, no more time for ideas, no more time for anything.
When you first started on the looking into the perfect law of liberty, for me, what I saw was man standing looking into that law, but that law is like a bright heat, a white heat that just destroys everything about you. And when that's gone, liberty is what exists. You can't not repent, you can't not die to self, you can't not do those things and know that perfect law.
What you think you do, that's the problem. I could never have heard this before. I just got totally bored with everything else. It just was impossible for me to believe. This is one of the reasons I went through all this crap. That but sin was me. The Antichrist was me. And I quit dance. I tried to dance. I tried to learn all. I studied all, everything, trying to find a way, a loophole. And there was none. That's why I always refer to the scriptures, because what anything else means nothing. To me, I don't care what my opinion is about anything. You come to this incredible verse that says there is no private interpretation of scripture. What you think about scripture doesn't even mean anything. From beginning to end, the scripture reveals one thing, Jesus Christ. One person. One perfect law of liberty. Requires your absolute death. That's why it's such bad news to human race, to the human race. It's not good news. It's good news to God, because his own seed has gotten him the victory. But it's the worst possible news to you and I. Unless we've come to the end, unless we've seen the futility and emptiness of everything about us. As long as you think you've got something, you'll never understand what it means to be a servant. You'll never understand what it means to be dead. You'll never understand what it means to be a believer. Because you got you. I got you, babe. Isn't that a song? All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians. I don't know what chapter yet.
I heard a song last night. Frankie Valli sang, "You're Just Too Good to Be True." Can't take my eyes off of you. I like that one. Where do we go? 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. I'm talking to myself.
So listen up.
Well, let's just start verse 1 of chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, or only of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the manifestation of death written and engraven in stone, he's talking about the Ten Commandments written in stone by the finger of God, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses who received them, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. This could be when Moses is read, when John is read, when Paul is read, when Luke is read, when Timothy is read, when Revelation is read, the veil remaineth on their heart.
Here they're talking about the law specifically, aren't they?
They're talking about the scriptures.
They're talking about the law being Moses. Moses is representing the law. It doesn't change the meaning.
Well, it says, here's what it says. It says when the Old Testament, well, it says really when Moses is read, it's all that's considered scripture, and we consider the New Testament scripture. But if we try to read it with a veil, we'll not see Christ, neither than we didn't see Christ in the Old Testament. There's no difference. The veil remaineth. Somebody see that?
The reason I think I'm saying this, the law, is when we read scriptures looking for something to do, to be okay with God, that's the roadblock. Because that's done away with.
Well, I'm talking about a veil here. And that assumes, your statement assumes the veil is gone. But I'm saying to you, the veil isn't necessarily gone when we try to read the Old Testament or the New Testament. That veil is what is what keeps us from seeing and knowing and living that glorious liberty. It keeps us from seeing the only thing that we are to the law, which is the law of liberty. So let's read on and see what more it says.
Our mind.
Now you're understanding. You're beginning to. The veil is sin. And sin is you and I.
Yes, sin is the strength of the law, as it says.
Okay, let's go on here. I don't remember, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, as in a glass, we all with open face beholding as in a glass. Now it's a clear window pane. You look through instead of looking at yourself by having the silver on the back of the mirror. Your own self-redemption is gone completely forever. Now the mirror has turned into an open piece of clean glass that you look in and you see, instead of the mirror, and you see yourself, whatever I think about this. Nobody cares what anybody thinks about it. But what's there is the open face beholding as in a glass now the glory of the Lord. And we see him equally in all things. There's no more ranking. There's no more anything except faith.
Judging and condemning others as we stop judging and condemning ourselves.
Well, you just see everything. You just see other things. You don't, I mean, that's not even in the picture. All right. We all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. And that word change there is the same word, and it's metamorpho. We are transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more you see him, the more you will see of him. And you're going from glory to glory, not from faith to faith even, not from law or scripture to scripture, not from opinion to opinion. You're moving from glory to glory because you're gone. All of the silver is off the glass. So there's nothing that can cause you to put your eyes on yourself. There's no need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right, but therefore, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, by the way, you know they didn't put chapters. They put chapters in the Bible in 1200. They put verses in with the chapters in 1500. I mean, so we miss, this is a personal letter. It's not a series of unrelated verses. Anyway, we'll get started.
Was it because it was translated into English?
No, they did it in the original language. Well, back then it was mostly Latin. But all right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You don't quit in your mind anymore. You don't have a mind for this and then a mind for the world. You have one mind. We faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
Can I stop a second? Well, he's saying we have this ministry, so ministry must be referring to what he just said. And so the ministry is...
Well, the only ministry is his life that reflects this image of Christ.
So then the ministry is seeing the mystery.
Yeah. But seeing it fully and not seeing it partially, and seeing it all the time, not seeing it sometimes. We have, as this mystery happens, or as it's unfolding, sometimes the unfolding is whack! And then sometimes it's a little bit here, a little bit there, some a little here, a little there, a little. But, all right, let's go on. We have renounced the hidden things. And there are 5 billion hidden things. Patterns of behavior, stands, opinions, hurts, shame. Not walking in craftiness. In other words, not thinking about what you're going to do or say next. Because if you're thinking about it beforehand, by definition, you're walking in craftiness. The idea of Paul or James or any of those guys writing a sermon is ludicrous. They spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What does it mean? You search the scriptures not to see the mystery, but you search the scriptures to prove or try to prove a position that you have. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? It means there's nothing hidden about you. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded the minds, the God of this world. How has he got blinded the minds? He's blinded the minds by self-awareness. The fruit of the fall. And all and everything that goes with self-awareness. Which I believe the major one is self-realization. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, bondslaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That last verse really is the mind-bending liberty. The law of liberty, if you will. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. No longer our life, but the life of him is made manifest. What?
In our mortal flesh.
You know what that word mortal is?
Dead.
Dead. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Remember, that's from 116. Psalm 116. I believe, therefore I speak. Not, I'm gonna try to speak, or not try. I'm gonna speak if you can't help but speak. If you have any integrity, you try not to speak for a long time. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up us also by Jesus. Not me up, us up. That's why these are letters, like Corinthians and Romans, they're letters to that church, that ecclesia, that group of people. God, I wish that the idea of salvation was you could have, you know, be something alone. You can't. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, that word faint again, quitting in your mind. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Will we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. That whole thing we just studied this morning was about that perfect law of liberty. Amen? Any response?
That scripture has always been like a touchstone to me, where the part where it talks about with trouble on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in the spirit. Just whenever stuff happens, you know, just.
It's called shit happens.
When shit happens, yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah.
But what gets me is Paul called his terrible being in jail, being beaten, being shipwrecked, being his light affliction.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday it's the first time in 3 years I've had that spasm in the back that immobilizes me, or that just goes up and everything is gone. And that's why we're studying this verse this morning, because I would have given Pete's right arm to be freed from that. But it's gone today, so praise him. All right, take it, big guy.